Hello and welcome to Palace Intrigue. I am your host, Mark Francis. Writing for the Daily Mail, under the headline, staff say they were traumatized by Meghan's behavior, but her defenders say she just had high standards. Richard Kay took a deep dive into the accusations that Meghan Markle was a bully. 5 o'clock in the morning is an unusual time for a member of the royal family to be issuing instructions for staff. It smacks of panic and suggests an overly controlling nature. It is certainly antisocial. But in the summer of 2018, junior employees at Kensington Palace were becoming wearily familiar with these dawn emails and texts from the newly married Duchess of Sussex. Palace officials were at first quick to offer reassurance. Part of Meghan's working day meant connecting with contacts in the US, they said, when she had to be at a desk because of the time difference, hence the early messages to staff. They also talked of cultural differences in management style. Americans, they suggested, were more direct. Meanwhile, friends of the former actress were gushing to People magazine that Meghan had always prided herself on being a good boss. On one occasion, they related, she had paid for an ice cream stand to come to provide free treats for the staff. But over time, these explanations seemed increasingly threadbare. By October, the glow of her and Prince Harry's May wedding had long since faded, and insiders were openly describing Meghan as Duchess Difficult. This had nothing to do with the American-style straight-talking, but rather with what one figure suggested was her sharp, adversarial manner. Stories began to circulate of secretaries being reduced to tears, and the word bully, fairly or unfairly, was being murmured about the Duchess's behaviour. Just months ago, Buckingham Palace promised it would publish its report into how the historic allegations of bullying were handled by officials. But how hollow these pledges sound today. Instead of disclosing the steps taken to protect victims of the allegations, a curtain has been drawn over them. Meghan's lawyer, Jenny Afia, said the allegations were absolutely untrue and did not match her experience of her. Meghan's friend, Janina Gavankar, said, "I have known her for 17 years, and I have seen the way that she regards the people around her, and I can say she's not a bully." Others offered similar words of support, and it should also be borne in mind that none of the allegations made against the Duchess has ever been proved to be true. But signs that anything might be amiss first came when the Daily Mail revealed in 2018 that Meghan's personal assistant had left. A few days later, the assistant was named as Melissa Tubarty, who had previously worked for the former Take That singer Robbie Williams. Mr. Barty, in fact, was not the first member of staff to leave. Another PA, also a young woman, who had been employed before Meghan and Harry married, had also suddenly quit. Both personal assistants signed non-disclosure agreements, standard practice for royal staff, and there was no suggestion that the Duchess tried to prevent them from speaking. All the same, the relaxed, easygoing atmosphere that many had found working for the Bachelor Prince had rapidly changed. A part-time employee, who was briefly attached to Harry's household, told me that before Meghan arrived, Harry would make morning coffee for his small staff. After the wedding, the Duchess insisted that a butler take over the coffee-making duties. Peace with the Sussexes, a peace at any price, is preferable to showing what lessons might have been learned from the whole shabby episode. As one exasperated old palace hand told me, once again the public will think it's a case of how we can make this go away, rather than actually addressing it. It remains to be seen if this approach is enough to stem a rising chorus of criticism. Palace Intrigue will be right back. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry have been warned that they will never win against the royal family if they choose to sit down for another tell-all interview with Oprah Winfrey. The warning came from royal commentator Dylan Howard on The Morning Show, who was asked about the prospect of another Oprah appearance. "I don't know. I think they may do. I think it's going to be damaging to the royal institution, but I think one thing is certain. The firm wins. They're not going to win. It's over for them." Royal columnist Daniel Elser claimed the firm may be starting to panic over what the Duke and Duchess of Sussex will do next after they were spotted leaving Oprah's house. "Harry has books to sell, and the duo has a streaming giant bleeding hundreds of billions to keep sweet. For now, it's a watching brief, but with all of the opportunities in the near future for the Duke and Duchess to indulge in the penchant for truth-telling and journey-sharing, are a few warm words here and there really going to be enough to prevent them from coming for another prime-time pasting?" Ingrid Seward has been out and about promoting a new book and chimed in. "It was a whirlwind courtship. It was pretty quick. I don't like her for it, but I do admire her for being able to pack so much into such a short time. Harry is totally mesmerized by her. He would follow her to the ends of the earth, that's my feeling. He's obsessed. He's being dragged around like a royal performing seal. And Meghan has got to hang on to Harry because he's her entree. What is she otherwise but a starlet? And there you have it. If you'd like to email us, our address is thepalaceintrigue@gmail.com. Please follow us on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. I'm Mark Francis. My thanks to John McDermott. This is Palace Intrigue. Good times.